Last year they said it was the last chance, and this year they say the same. Is moving the deadline of the last chance undermining the message?
We also have to remember the context that's being said. Our last chance isn't this moment in time, it's a period of time.
That message needs to be changed and altered.
22nd of November, people! What are you up to? Pause there, just to let you think about it. This is the People's Countryside Environmental Debate Podcast, and why we are here, this was asked us a while back, and we're here to stop the big issues disappearing into the shadows and open the door to the tough conversations.
Disappearing over the horizon.
And we're back with a question from Paco in Wimbledon, London today. As we said in the last episode, the start of his question is about, is it too late to save ourselves or something, isn't it? Something like that.
Is it already too late to save ourselves? It's a bit more to that, but that's the opening gambit of the question.
I'm Stuart the Wild Man Mabber, and I'm interested in the psychology of activism and protest, and I'm a full-time rabble-rouser. Who's the co-host?
Well, my name's William Manclow. One of my challenges have been, challenges for the last 2 or 3 months, it's been sort of multifaceted, really. I'm helping a relation of mine while my mum actually move home. That's quite a big thing, and I've been ill over the last few weeks, which is another challenge. We're doing this podcast, which is another challenge. You know, there's all these, life throws all these challenges at you, and sometimes, you know, sometimes you just got to see what sticks, and sometimes you've got to allow things to slide. It just naturally happens. You can't do absolutely everything in your life. That's my challenge, to try and just make sure I'm keeping the right plates up. I'm not allowing the more important plates to stop. To drop.
When you were talking about sticking and sliding, my mind went back to last night, because we had a blocked toilet I had to get dino rod out to clear the drain.
One tissue, wasn't it?
Yeah, one tissue blocked it, so nothing was slipping and sliding.
Stuart blew his nose once, and that's what blocked the blocked the toilet.
When you have dino rod on it in at midnight, it certainly wakes you up.
Just to say, this podcast is not sponsored by dino rod.
No.
We're not suddenly going to turn bright, luminous orange.
No. So we do a podcast in a conversational style. We try and show localised actions that can help the quality of life in the environment where you are. Supposedly. We don't always come up with actions in every episode. Sometimes the actions are in the deliberation. We just want to make sure we, as hosts and you as listener, realise that... you know, we're all custodians of the little piece of nature on our doorstep, and we're part of the ecosystem around us, not separate to it. And the ecosystem can be the culture of the society that you live in. And we're not experts. We're just like you, trying to find answers to the or ways through the big problems. So let's get straight down to Paco in Wimbledon's question.
Yeah, if you don't know where Wimbledon is, it is in London.
South of the river.
South of the river, yeah, southwest London. I believe the actual tennis, the Lawn Tennis Association, even though it's called, the competition is called Wimbledon, it's not actually in Wimbledon.
You've asked me that before. I have no idea.
Because Chelsea, like for example, Chelsea Football Club don't play in Chelsea, they play in Fulham. Mm. Their ground's in Fulham.
Yeah.
Actually, the closest underground station to Chelsea Football Club is Fulham Broadway.
Yeah.
It's like, why, what? Weird. Anyway, just weird thing. It's a bit like Man United and being in Salford and all that sort of stuff. Mm. I'm going on a tangent here. So Paco, thank you very much for your follow-up question, because you've had many...
Number of questions. And actually, I've looked down. He's got a number coming as well next year.
Yeah, so it's, like you said, today's the 22nd of November, so...
Okay, crack on then, son.
Yeah, the question is...
Go on. The question is, because I went...
The question is it already too late to save ourselves? People keep saying this is the last chance to deal with the climate and ecological emergency we face. But isn't that where they go wrong, as they keep saying it? Last year they said it was the last chance, and this year they say the same. Is moving the deadline of the last chance undermining the message? Humans tend to crap... Humans tend to crap in their own backyard in pursuit of money, regardless of what's down the line. In the end, we tend to wake up and realise, but too often that doesn't happen until it's too late. Is it worth still trying to save ourselves, or just give up without even trying to adapt?
Okay, yeah, I do think it's dangerous to keep saying this is our last chance, this is our last chance, but we also have to remember the context that's being said. Our last chance isn't this moment in time, it's a period of time. So even though people were saying it last year, and they're saying it Now, it's not like the end of the world people who say the world will end today, categoric. This is a period of time. Now, I even if we started now, I think it would be very, very difficult, but there are lots of things we can still do. William?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking we've been kicking out carbon into the atmosphere for over 200 years, haven't we?
Mm.
Since the dawn of the Industrial Revolution. So it's a challenge. That's a huge challenge that you can't just get over. You can't get over within one go. And absolutely, this whole idea of this last chance is not like, oh, the world is going to end on the 23rd of November 2022 sort of thing. It's not, by the way, that, I know that's tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day of release, but it's not that finite. It's a period of time, isn't it? So it's just this I think the problem with this sort of saying it's the last chance, it needs to be, that message needs to be changed and altered so it doesn't become repetitive and forgettable.
Yeah, you need to change the narrative so it's fresh.
Yeah, and coming at it from a different angle. So you could be talking about, okay, this year, this amount of species it became extinct because of our actions. What can we do to help that? And how will that actually help the long-term goal as far as keeping the temperatures down? Because we've seen already how the climate is very volatile at the moment. I've noticed myself here, just here in Oxford, it has been volatile.
I heard something the other day. We had that big hurricane in 1987 in the UK.
Well, that wasn't a hurricane, remember?
Well, that's what Michael Fish said. It's just a light wind on the way.
No, he didn't say. He just it's someone that that's. This is a really niche reference, but if you're back in the late 80s, a prominent weather forecaster on television said. Somebody phoned and said, we've got a hurricane coming on the way. And he said, no, it's not a hurricane, because it wasn't a hurricane because the winds weren't strong enough, but they were still very strong.
Yeah, well, it caused all that decimation. And I saw a documentary about it yesterday that was made recently. And looking back in hindsight, they were saying that was one of the first indicators of the climate changing.
Because it was,
and that was the first time I'd actually thought of that. I thought, well, actually, it's not in isolation. It's part of a graph. Picture and some people would say you do get strong winds. Yeah, of course you do. But it is when you look back, you can see a pattern emerging.
Because the actual, we'll go on to the rest of your question, Paco, I promise. But that tells you how much more energy there is in the atmosphere. Because if we get that sort of strong winds here in the UK, that means the original hurricane that formed, because we get the end a tail end of these storms. If it's still that strong when it comes across the Atlantic, usually it loses its power because it's going over colder water. It means that the original hurricane was very much, much, much stronger, which means we're going to get more of that sort of incident. And you notice that over the last few years, we've had a lot more storm incidents because there's more energy in the oceans.
Yeah, there's plenty of energy around. I mean, I also saw a documentary yesterday about, you know, talk about rising sea levels and it's going up a little bit each year, but if you know, people say, oh well, we got thousands of years before the North Pole melts, but I heard that if just the Greenland ice sheet melts, which is a mile thick,
and it already has,
that will actually raise the sea levels globally by many feet very quickly.
Yes, and that's a mean sea level as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we're not talking about high tides or spring high tides, et cetera, et cetera. But remember that the actual, in a way, the North Pole melting actually will make very little difference to the level of the water, level of sea level, because it's ice in water. And if anybody's ever done the experiment with ice in water in a glass, you can see that it will remain the same. It's just the ice that's on Antarctica and also on places like Greenland and North Canada and that type of thing. That's where the problem is going to be.
Water displacement, isn't it?
There's also locked away carbon underneath that as well. Methane, of course, as well. But
the rest of the question of Paco.
Yeah, when I was reading this out, you would have edited this bit out, but there's a line here which made me smile, because I hadn't actually read this out before we pressed record. Humans tend to crap in their own backyard in pursuit of money. Absolutely, yeah. We're very short term. We're very easily distractible monkeys. I think it's probably the best way of putting it, aren't we?
I wouldn't have edited that out. I'd leave the crap in because it's how he phrased it.
No. The fact that when I first read it, I laughed about it.
All right. Okay.
Probably might have edited it out, but it might still be in there. God, I really am going down tangents today.
So is it too late, and is it worth trying to save ourselves or just give up without even trying to adapt? I think we need the critical mass to stay motivated. You could argue that if we distract ourselves by adapting, it's sort of like accepting our fate and not doing anything about it. So the energy, I think, should be put into working clever so we don't have to adapt. But if we do, we need to have that as well. If you want to give up, you should be allowed to, I think, if that's where you are in your life. But I think the critical mass of people have still got some fight. You never really know who's given up, though.
I was going to say, as long as we're making this podcast, we'll be that friendly voice in your ear. Mm. We'll be here to encourage and discuss and find the middle ground and try and find solutions to these big issues. Mm. I mean, next year, we're going to be having the next Live and Unscripted, aren't we, towards the end of May.
Environmental debate, Live and Unscripted.
Yes.
Come and see us live.
You know, that would be something that I would... It'd be interesting to have you along, Paco, because it's going to be here in Oxfordshire.
Mm. And especially the podcast format taken in front of a live audience that isn't recorded, but expanded.
And a part of that, there's two key parts of that show. One is that there's going to be this sort of like sharing of learning experiences with around the climate crisis.
And knowledge and contacts.
Knowledge, contacts within the audience. And after that, there's going to be a chance to have a meal afterwards as well, like a buffet meal, and continue those conversations and have really nice conversations afterwards. So support each other. That's probably the best way. Mm. Is it worth trying to save ourselves or just give up without trying to adapt? Yeah, allow yourself to do that. If that's what you feel you need to do and you don't have the energy to continue trying, then it's understandable.
But I also know some people who have to go through a process. They have to give up to actually come back fighting.
Is it the five stages of grief or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, I can't remember what each stage is, but you had them written down somewhere, didn't you?
I think it might be more than five.
And
they're not necessarily in this order. People experience them in different ways. The seven stages of mourning.
Seven stages of
mourning. It's shock, disbelief, depression, guilt, anxiety, anger, acceptance. I'm much easier remembering the six main topics of this podcast than trying to find those.
Yes.
So, in that piece of text. Yeah. So, yeah, go through the process. You know, if you come through the other side, fantastic. If you don't, then people need supporting.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, thanks very much for your question, Paco, and I hope we've discussed it quite nicely for you. We do have another returning listener question in the next one, which is from a lady in Wetley Rocks in Staffordshire.
Yeah.
Named after a flower.
What? What, Wetley Rocks?
No, the person.
Oh, right. Okay, thought you meant...
Goodness me. So, yeah.
Well, sort of. You could say it's...
Well, her name is Iris.
Oh, yeah, Iris. I was looking at the one after that. Sorry.
Yeah. No. Heather is not. Heather has flowers.
Yeah.
So yeah, I've now given that away because Heather in Ablington is going to be the one after that. But we'll line that up again.
So if you've got a question you want to ask us, we've got around 68, 69, 70 questions lined up. But how can people email us, William?
You can open up your web browser, sign into your email address, type in thepeoplescountryside@gmail.com and send us a question. Why don't you do that today? Like Paco has done, like Iris has done, like Adriana did as well. And that was a very long question in the last one, wasn't it?